Welcome to another episode of Wonder Why with L Wonder. Yep, guess what? This is the 29th episode. It's the last episode before we take a break. But go ahead and make sure you check this one out. What we're going to be doing is closing up the episode of Bridging the Gap. We're going to be talking about why are there gaps, how we bridge them, and really be effective on bridging them, not just temporarily, but bridging for success. So go ahead, sit back, relax, listen to this episode, get you a drink, get you some water, whatever the case may be, grab you something to eat, as we close out this 29th episode of Wonder Why with L Wonder, this season finale, as we talk about bridging the gap, bringing it all together. Wonder out. Hey, welcome. And as you see, you might see this. Just make sure that this is all good. Yes. And as you might see, this is our episode 29 of Wonder Why with L Wonder. I'm your man, L Wonder. And today is our final episode of the season. This is our final episode of the season. What does that mean? Does that mean we're gone for good? No, it does not mean we're gone for good. It simply means that this is our final episode for the season. I will be coming back next season. I'll be coming back in September. So you just stay tuned for any return dates or anything like that. But this is my final episode of this season. I have completed my very first season of Wonder Why with L Wonder. And this is my final episode this season. So I hope that you are, let's see. I need to make sure I'm looking at this the right way. But yeah, I hope that you are excited. I mean, I hope that you've been enjoying this thing. I have been. Let's see. I just want to make sure I'm seeing everything the right way.
Once
again, like I said, the final episode for season one. And what we are going to be talking about, we're going to be talking about Bridging the Gap. So we have done three episodes. I did record another episode with Bridging the Gap with my little cousin, but we didn't finish that interview, so I'm not gonna give y'all anything halfway. I have had some phenomenal episodes since last fall. But let's talk about this last one, this Bridging the Gap. And this is the Bringing It All Together one. So that's exactly what we're going to do. We've been talking about Bridging the Gap. And what made me want to talk about Bridging the Gap was simply because everybody got differences. There's so many differences in opinions. There's so many differences in how people look at things, how people hear things, how people perceive things, how people just differentiate on how to do things. And one of the first things that we did, we talked with multiple generations. I had my uncle and my cousin on here. So we had, including myself, we had three different generations. I wanted to get together talking to married couples and stuff like that. But I'm just going to bring it all together because when we look at the differences in perspectives, which is part of the reason why I wanted to do this, because what tended to happen is our differences made us separate from each other. Our differences made us not want to be around each other. Our differences made us not want to talk to each other. Our differences segregated us in a sense. So that's why I really wanted to talk about bridging the gap, because I don't feel like we have that much difference that should separate us. I believe that the difference should increase and improve and make us better in general. So like I said before, we talked about generations, and in the generation conversation, we talked about so many different things. We talked about, for instance, in a generational thing, let me see So I had my Uncle Burtis on here and I had my cousin. I had my Uncle Burtis on here and Let's see. I have my little cousin out here. So basically what we was talking about, we had a big conversation and we was talking about generational things first off. And in talking about the generational things, we just seen a difference in things. Like I said, the reason why I brought up bridging the gap is because there's so many different things that's been going on that it begin to tear a hold or tear, it separates us to the point where we stop talking, we stop focusing on each other and stop focusing on what our purpose was. The first people I had my Uncle Bert and I had my cousin, Baby Terry, on here. And that was a really good conversation. I hope you watched it. If you haven't watched it, go back and watch it. We had a really dope conversation. We talked about everything from something. We started off with something as simple as music. And music, listen to music. If you out there watching or you out there listening to us, let's talk about music. Like, what was the greatest era of music? Somebody. For me, the greatest era of music to me was the late 90s music. That was the best era. That was the best music time for music for me was the late 90s. Because in the late 90s, we had stuff like Jagged Edge. We had something like, we had stuff like 112. We had Bone Thugs and Harmony. We had Tupac. I think that was some of the best music to me that we had. Was some of that music. So that to me was the best music because that was just the best music to me. But then if you listen to somebody who came up in the 70s, 60s type of era, then they might talk about other people like Earth, Wind, and Fire, or they might talk about other people and say that they're, and what we tend to do is because what we listen to is the best to us, what we tend to do is block out what anybody else got to say about that music. So if we was to talk about music, I mean, throw some stuff out there. If you're watching this right now, throw some stuff out there. What's some of the best music to you? What do you think the best era of music is right now? And I'm looking, if y'all got any comments or anything like that, what's some of the, but that's what we started off talking about. In saying that, what ended up happening was we got a chance to see that across all three generations, each generation had a reason, had a valid, legit reason or valid reason why they felt like the music that they was listening to or they felt like was the best music at their time was the best music, period. And that's basically what Bridging the Gap is about. It's more about listening and not cutting off your ears, not cutting off what you want to hear, not cutting off because you disagree. If we do that, we will start missing stuff. I'll say this. One thing that I learned listening, and if you heard last week's message or if you heard last week's posting, you heard me having a conversation with my little cousin Cash, and she gave me a perspective on parenting. She gave me a perspective on adulting. She gave me a perspective on dating that I never understood. And it had a whole bunch of different reasons why it was such a difference. Because first off, me and her, it's the male and female thing. I'm not a female, so I don't look at it the same way that she might look at it. I also, it could be a generational thing. You know, she came up in a different generation than I did. So in saying that, we just look at things a lot differently just based off of who we are and what's the importance and what's the values of what's the values to us. So I mean, that holds a world of a difference. It definitely does. It shows a world of a difference. So it could be general, the differences can be based off of anything, like your sex. You know, male or female, we think totally different. I mean, let's think about parenting, the dynamic of parenting between a husband and a wife, or the dynamic of parenting between a male and a female. We parent different. My son recently moved out onto his own, and the way that me and Amanda was doing things was totally different, just simply because of the mindset of a male and a mindset of a female, or the mindset of a mom and a mindset of a dad. the way that she wanted to. Like, for me, LJ moving out was more of let me let him go and do his own thing and experience life on his own. That was my mindset as a parent allowing his child to move out. Not knocking anything, but it was simply I wanted my son to go out and experience life on his own, figure life out on his own. I wanted him to go out and figure it out. And I'm not, and of course, I'm there. I got his back. I'm supportive. I'm not gonna let nothing crazy happen to him. But the main idea, the main focus of him moving out was so that he can figure out life and experience life in a manner that he will be able to make decisions based on himself. And there's nothing wrong with my ideology of behind that. There's nothing wrong with my concept. There was nothing wrong with how I wanted things to go. The only thing about it is when it came to Amanda, her concept and her theme of him moving out was totally different than mine was. Now, yes, we both had, just the FYI, we both had the same goal in mind, which is to get him to be able to take care of himself and function as an adult outside of here, outside of the home. But the way that we went about it was totally different. What do I mean by that? For instance, before he even started moving out, when he first got a job, Amanda made sure that LJ understood the concepts of saving. I taught him certain things. I told him about certain things. But in me, I was the teacher where I taught him the fundamental or the foundation of certain concepts. But she walked him through it. So with me, I explained to him why we save, what we need to do when we save, and the importance of it, the value of it, and how we need to move, how it's our choice to do these things. But she actually made him do it during the times that he was working, made him, and even when he got frustrated, he got pissed off about it. And with me, I don't want to deal with the, I ain't got time to be dealing with your attitude. If it's up to you, if you want to spend all your money, go right ahead. But from a mother perspective, she dealt with the attitude, she dealt with the frustration, she dealt with the fight, she dealt with him going back and forth with her, and she still put it down to the point where made him have to do certain things, even through all the arguments and fights. And that's where the difference came to when it came to him moving out. So when he moved out, I was, I'm a dad to the fullest. So I'll throw you out there, put you in the water and sink, you go sink or swim. But a mother's perspective is totally different. A mother's perspective is, let me nurture you and see you through. Like for her, it's so crazy. He had some money saved up. So what she did was she walked him through. Because my thing is, okay, well, you about to move out. You prepare yourself the best way you think that you should so that you can move out. So for me, I was just going to let you move out. You know, simple as that. You figure out how do you want your kitchen set up? You got to figure it out. So and I got your back if you want me to, but that's not my situation. You got to figure that part out. If you want a nice decor in your bathroom, cool. We can go ahead and go to the store and look the stuff up. But ultimately what it comes down to is you have to make those moves if that's what you want. So for her, what Amanda did, and this was the difference between a mother and a father when it came to that type of situation. What Amanda did was Amanda actually told you, we're going to the store and this is what we're going to be shopping for. She broke it down and explained, this is what we're going to be looking for. This is how we're going to be doing this. This is what our next step is. And she actually put the action to it behind me, put the action behind it. Mothers nurture at a different pace. Mothers nurture at the nurturing of them. So it's so crazy because I remember at certain times she would get frustrated at the process, especially when it came to saving money, or especially when it came to her telling him how you need to spend this or how you need to buy it, or what you need to buy and when you need to buy it and what you need to spend certain money on. He would show frustration. So for me, I would be like, I ain't got time to be going through all of that. If you don't want to buy it, I ain't gonna make you buy it. It is what it is. You just go be without. I understood the value of him having certain things, but I never made him. But she, as a mother, protected him and made sure that he had it because in the long run, he's going to need what he, which she knew that he was going to need something. So that was the difference between our parenting perspectives. So she made sure she hooked the boy up. I don't know, y'all seen the pictures when he moved out, but she hooked the boy up. She made sure he had a real nice living room set. She made sure she made him. Now we bought the living room set, but she made sure he bought him a nice living room TV. She made sure he bought him decor for the bathroom, decor for the kitchen, dishes, all that type of stuff. So she made sure she got him set up to buy these things. And in the long run, he was really appreciative. When he moved into his apartment, that day he moved into his apartment, we got him all fixed up. We got everything taken care of. He was really appreciative because of the moves that she made, even though he didn't want to make those moves before. So he found a value in that once the time came for him to see it. And that's the difference. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Doesn't make what we do any difference. Doesn't make what I do any better than what she do, or does it make what she do any better than what I do? And I'm going to honestly say no. I will say, from my perspective, I've learned that what she does and what I do, we play a role. Now, there are certain times where, just like this situation, I'm really glad, and I have made comments to her, I may mention to her before, that I'm really glad that she was there to push certain things that I wasn't. Because had she not, yeah, he would have struggled, and he eventually would have got it. But he never would have, but he was able to understand a different perspective based off of the situation that was going on. Okay. If you just now joining us, the 29th episode, this is the final episode, this is the season finale of Wonder Why with L Wonder. We will come back next year. We'll come back in September. That's when we'll start the next season. But I just wanted to conclude. What I was just talking about was the difference between parenting and how me and Amanda did things different, especially when it came to my son. Now we can talk about a little bit more as far as, then that's the thing about it. We didn't, what one did not make was not better than the next. But what we did was we played off each other and we built up off. Because there was times, I'm going to be honest with you, in that situation, yes, you're absolutely right. It was better that I listened. And I'm so glad that I did listen to what Amanda was saying in that situation. Because it turned out so much better. For LJ, it turned out so much better. Because we had some rest knowing that he had what he needed. But now, he's been out since January. He knows he can count on us, but now we're at a place where we're stepping back more. Now that he got set up in a place and in the position that he was, we're stepping back a lot more now. We are able to just allow him to experience life a little bit more. Okay. Yeah, so that's what's been going on. That's one thing. So we can talk about it. If it's anybody out there, if it's anybody looking, you might watch this a little bit later, but just hit me up and talk to me. Some more gaps in the system. Another gap in the system. We just talked about parental. Let's talk about something like, okay, parenting. As we talk about parenting, let's look at whoopings. It's a real sensitive subject. Yeah, I'm being honest. You know, most of the time, especially when it comes to African Americans, you bring up whoopings, and the first thing that we go say as African Americans is, of course, but you know, I got a whooping, and look how it turned out. Whoopings is a good thing. Whoopings is real good, but I got whoopings, and look how it turned out. And I'm gonna be honest with you, you know, because of my experience, because of what I've been through, because of the parents that I had, because of the grandparents that I had, because of their parenting. My grandma did not spare the rod, so, and neither did my parents. They did not spare the rod, and I'm not, but there's a different perspective. See, especially nowadays, most parents now decide, many, I'll say this, not most, because most do, but many parents now either they don't do as our grandparents did, but they decide, some people, most parents now decide not to whoop. Most of them decide not to whoop. And I understand that concept, but most of their support system as far as not whooping goes into the theory that it's easier, that it's more beneficial, that it's more relatable if you don't, if you decide not to whoop, but rather talk and teach your children, walk them through, use the learning experiences more than what they consider being forceful or threatening. So they decide not to whoop. When you do have a lot of perspectives on, because I'm gonna be honest, like I said, my children have gotten whoopings. My children will get whoopings. If any children that come over to the house, if you do something that you ain't got no business doing, you got the potential of getting whooped. Just being honest, just being straight up. No, I'm not saying I'm about to beat your child, but the thing about it is that's another perspective. Many, and we talked about this also, part of the problem that most people have with whoopings is that many people automatically, not right now, we changed to a culture of where whoopings lost the value of being chastisement or discipline, and whoopings became a release for parents. This was parents' way of releasing anger or anything like that. And when you're doing it out of that concept, when you're whooping out of anger, then yeah, I'm telling you, that's wrong. That's dead wrong. When you're whooping out of anger, you open up the door for more abuse. The problem is, we got whoopings and our parents whooped us. Yes, there was times that we done certain things to make our parents angry or upset or whatever the case may be, and then we got whoopings. But our parents, for the majority of what they did, they did not whoop us out of the anger. They was whooping us more out of the disappointment and teaching us, because of our actions, this, the reaction or the consequence is punishment in some sort. So I think that has a lot to do when it comes to the argument over, do you whoop a child or do you not whoop a child? So like I said, these are some of the gaps that I wanted to pull up, because what happens is something as simple as whooping can divide friends, can divide people who are close, can divide, some real good people. And we allow stuff like this to separate us. So I'm gonna make it a little bit personal. So, you know, anybody who knows me, anybody who knows my family, whether it's the Jordan side of my family or the Houston side of my family, you know that no matter what, we have a strong spiritual foundation. I'm not saying that we're the best people. I'm not saying that we're the most church people. I'm not saying that but we went to the Salvation Army, and it taught us so much. And then we also, as we got older, we have all grown and had in our foundation that started at the Salvation Army have elevated in different avenues. Some people went to a different type of Baptist church. Some people went to AME. Some people went to Church of God in Christ. Some people, our spiritual growth has went so many different ways in our families. In saying that, we started off in the Salvation Army, but then with the backgrounds, with the different teachings and the different backgrounds that we started getting into, we started being taught different religious practices. And I'll be honest, for a long time, me and a really, really close family member could not talk about anything biblical. As much as I love the Lord, and as much as this person loved the Lord, as a matter of fact, let's break it down. I'm gonna be honest with you, I'm gonna be completely transparent. It was me and my dad. You know, me and my dad, we had two different perspectives when it came to certain things religious. And it had a lot to do with should women do this? Should men do that? How should we treat this? What happens if you do that? And it was a lot of background. It was a lot of nuances or small details that many practices became evident. So what that tended to do is whenever we would talk about these things, or whenever we would talk about and start, we can start having a conversation when it comes, just talking about how good God is and what God is teaching us and what God is telling us about and what God is showing us, and what it end up doing, it end up evolving to an argument because they believed one thing and we believed another thing. And something as simple as, should women wear dresses? Should women wear pants? Should women preach? Should women do this? Or should men, what happens if you're divorced? How should you go? If you're going through a divorce, if you have issues in a house, should you still be ministering? All types of stuff like that. So those details, now I'm gonna be honest with you. The thing about it is those practices and those beliefs and those things, and we're talking about just bridging the gap. We talked about whooping whoever just popped on. We talked about should parents whoop children. We talked about how the way we parent, but now we talked about me and a close family member, me and my dad. We began to develop our own personal relationship with Christ, and we got into ministry and stuff like that. We just had two different perspectives, and it basically stopped us from having a real life conversation. I mean, it stopped us from being able to talk about the passion that was in our life when it came to our religious background or our beliefs. So all of that, we started building a good relationship. And then when it got to these differences that he had and the difference that I had, we couldn't even talk about things that we were learning in Christ because it was such a difference between us. So we allowed these things to separate us and avoid, we avoided talking about church. When he loved church as much as I love church, we couldn't even talk about church because we looked at, because of our differences and beliefs. So how do we, this is the thing, this is why I wanted to talk about, what's up, Shanice, how you feeling? So what I'm talking about, I'm concluding, this is my final episode of Wonder Why with L Wonder for this season. This is episode 29. I will be stopping after this one, and I will be starting back in September. But I'm talking about bridging the gap, just how people have so many differences, and what that does, it just tears them apart from each other. I just gave a quick story about me and my dad when it came to reading the Bible. But we can talk about something as simple as, you know, tattoos. You know, back in the day, tattoos, you would not get tattoos on your arms or anything like that, because if you had a promising career such as nursing or such as an administrative career or something like that, or office work, if you had a tattoo, it was not professional. It wasn't considered professional. So something as simple as tattoos, like how do you look at tattoos? What do you think about a tattoo in a professional realm? You know, we got a lot of professional people out here. What is your view on tattoos in a professional realm? Because back in the day, if you had a tattoo, you was not about to be out here, and you was not about to get a good job. That's what they said. If you had a tattoo and you couldn't cover it up, you was not going to get a professional job. Now, look, I want to say, no, not now, but 2012, I walked into a job and I seen people who had tattoos up and down their head, neck, face, everything. Back in the day, they also talked about, you know, the way that you wear your hair. The way that you wear your hair can depend on what type of job you get. So if you got the idea was get a low cut or nice and tight cut. So if you had, most of the time, people didn't have these big old beards that they're wearing now. But look how the culture has changed. So what is it? Does that mean that it was a bad thing? So I want to read you something that I got today from church, and this was confirmation that we was heading in the right direction. And I hope that y'all understand this. that difference, that different is not deficient. Different is not deficient. I hope y'all understand that difference, that different does not mean deficient. What does that mean? That means just because somebody does things in a different way, it's like my son. And I had to catch myself. I'm just being honest. I'm just being straight up with you. I'm just being realistic with you. When I first started working, I started working when I was 16. And my very first job, I made $5.15. $5.15. That was my first job. I thought, and shoot, that was minimum wage at the time. Other people right before that say I made $4.25. I remember when it went up a little bit more. I think when minimum wage got up to like seven something, whatever it was. But when my son started working, his very first job, he made $15. Well, not his very first job. His very first job was $9 or something like that. But he only had that a short period of time, and it really didn't give him hours. But when he got his solid job, it was $15 an hour. And I had to catch myself. I'm gonna be honest with you. Like I said, you got to be transparent. You cannot get nowhere, especially when we're talking about clearing some differences, especially when we're talking about bridging the gap, if you cannot be completely honest. Before I could be completely honest with anybody else, I got to be completely honest with myself. So in saying that, when my son got this job, I'm looking like, you know, I felt some type of way. Now, I was happy for my son because he had this a nice paying job, but I felt some type of way because I'm thinking to myself, is he going to understand what he really got here? Is he really going to understand that making this type of money on your first job, real job, full-time job out the door, is he really going to understand the value? Is he going to understand the value of work? Is he going to understand the grind? Like, I remember for me, yeah, I had to go through all types of stuff on my first couple jobs. My first full-time job, shoot, I was cleaning bathrooms. I didn't have a degree. I didn't have any of that stuff. So my first full-time job, because I had a wife who was pregnant with my first child, you know, I was willing to do what I had to. So like my question was, does this current generation understand the value without having to go through what we've been through? And that's what I was struck with. That was the challenging part. We're talking about bridging gap. If you see, say, okay, Shanice just said she got 15 tattoos. But see, in saying that, with the 15 tattoos, did it prevent you from getting any jobs? See, and that was the difference. See, back in the day, tattoos would have been like, oh my goodness, you ain't getting no tattoos, or unless you have a certain type of lifestyle, or if you work a certain type of job. But see, now tattoos are good. My question, and so we tend to see ourselves get mad when the next generation does not have to go through the struggle that we go through. Or when we see other people or some people opposed to us that don't have to deal with things that we are dealing with, or don't go through things because we feel like it's what taught us. She said, I'm about that thug life. Shanice, I know you already. Shaker is not a thug. I keep trying to explain to you, Shanice, Shaker is not, it ain't nothing thug about Shaker. But I hear you. I hear you. It sound good. It sound good. but I mean, like I said, when he got that $15 an hour job, I'm sitting there like, is this dude really gonna understand the struggle? Like, I start finding myself, and I'm just being real with myself and being real with anybody else, like, man, can he really understand the struggle? Raider Nation, stand up. You didn't see a Raider Nation. Oh, that's what it was. Shaker Heights Raiders. The Raiders. Oh, okay. Okay. That was cute. But my question is, I was like, dad, could they really understand the value if they haven't really gone through the struggle? So that's the thing. Do you feel like I found myself getting mad at it? That's mad about it. It's like I remember, for instance, I remember my little brother. My little brother, we like I, when I got my first laptop, I got this bootleg laptop. And I had to run the wire through the basement, and I had to plug it into the internet and all this and all that. And for Christmas one year, my parents got him a laptop, a brand spanking new laptop. And the dude had a real good laptop. And shit, they got him a real nice laptop. 2 months later, I saw him walk around holding the laptop by the top cover and everything like that. It's, to me, I'm like, he don't understand the value of having something so nice. So I would get upset seeing that he didn't have that, that he got something so easy. So to me, it was like people who got it easy, I started having a problem with it. And I'm just being straight up, I'm just being real. But I had to learn something. And that's part of what ended up causing a divide or causing a gap between people. Just like with racial, I'm gonna be honest with you. I wanted to have some real conversations. I've had some real conversations, whether it was with Black people, with white people. And I'm gonna be honest with you. If we can sit down and have some real conversations, whether it's race relations, whether it's the what's going on with the police violence and stuff like that, then it's gonna start hitting home. I've had a bunch of conversations, and I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm not gonna get no police to come on my show and talk about it. And I've already got an understanding. You're not going to get that because there's a brotherhood amongst police officers. And please, if somebody think I'm wrong, please say something to me. I will say this. I know we all got our own perspective, but the people who are actually doing the thing, if you want to stand up and say something, go right ahead and do it. But I doubt that we get that. But I found that police officers, there's a brotherhood. So no matter what, you will not hear. It's very, very rare. I will not say never, but it's very rare if you hear a police officer stand up against anything or speak out against certain things. And I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's fair. I'm just saying I understand that. But I have had one-on-one personal conversations with many police officers, and they don't like what's going on. At the same time, some of them see what's going on, but some of them have to be able to stay in their own lane or their own zone and function the way that they're functioning. For instance, and I have had many conversations, especially when it comes to race relation. Most of the time, I'm gonna be honest with you, the whole systematic racism is not understood by most whites. And if you are white watching my show and you're listening to me right now and you want to chime in, please do not hesitate. But most white people do not understand the concept, or did not understand the concept of systematic racism until just recently. Why? Because it never affected them. If it doesn't affect them, then they don't really have to pay attention to it unless it's brought to light or brought in there to their attention. So when it comes to us having, we get upset because we understand. Like, I came up in a neighborhood. Now you talking about Raider Nation. Look, I'm really proud, but I just watched something on United Shades of America that did a documentary on East Cleveland, their high school, and then Shaker High School. Me and Shamar watched it. I had her come sit down and watch it with me. And there is a huge difference in how the two high schools function and how that neighborhood or how those school systems prepare their children to go into the world. What do I mean? Watch that show, United Shades of America. They came here. I think it was like season 7 or something, whatever it was. It was last year. But they watched in East Cleveland public schools. In East Cleveland public schools, basically everybody, they what they felt like they needed to do in East Cleveland public schools was teach and train these children from the time you get into high school. You got to get ready, because once you get out of high school, you need to have a career so that you can take care of yourself. So you can, and I'm not knocking that. I think that's a great thing. That's a really, really good thing. But this is the difference between how East Cleveland public schools function from Shaker public schools. When they went to Shaker, so East Cleveland public schools, also peep this, East Cleveland public schools, the kids in East Cleveland, most of them was getting meals and had to look forward to, they look forward to the meals that they were getting from school, because that was, I gotta hold up, give me a minute, I gotta plug up my battery, my laptop real quick, because if not, it's about to be dead. But they had to, the kids was getting the meals from East Cleveland Home Schools. That was some of their only meals that they were getting. Real life. But Shaker, when they was going to Shaker, now peep this in Shaker, no lie, Shaker had a whole different mentality when he came. Like Shaker, y'all got to excuse me for a minute. I'm plugging up my laptop. I'm getting everything together so I can plug up my laptop. Or else this is about to be over. So, yes. But when it came to Shaker schools, they didn't have, they had certain jobs. They had certain things that was like career-based. But most of the things in Shaker, like you had kids in Shaker who was actually going to school to be video game designers. You had kids in Shaker who was actually going to school to be politicians. You had kids in Shaker, and it was blacks and whites. You had Shaker Public Schools, which I'm really proud. This is what I had to learn about Shaker Public Schools. And I know I joke a lot about y'all in Shaker, but I really give big ups to Shaker because Shaker Schools actually put forth the energetic effort on equality, on racial equality. I noticed that Shaker actually put it, they have so many programs that work towards showing equality across the board. And I've never seen that, especially in Cleveland, because we are overly abundant when it comes to our Cleveland public schools are most black. So they function towards certain type of demographic. But it's a huge difference in the mentality of Shaker Public Schools compared to East Cleveland. East Cleveland, they said, they gave them good jobs. They gave them traits. They said, you could be a hairdresser, you could be a nurse, you could be a police officer, you could be this. So they had traits ready for them in East Cleveland. But in Shaker, they told them basically the sky is the limit. You can be whatever it is you want to. When I seen them and they actually had competitions for video game design, I'm like, this is mind blowing because you wouldn't see this in Cleveland. So what I'm saying is, after watching that documentary, it taught me that most people are not affected by the things most people ain't paying attention to the stuff that's not affecting them. So that's why I can understand most whites will not understand systematic racism unless they really took a vested interest in it, or unless it really been broken down to them. So what does that say to us? Instead of us attacking most white people and trying to make them understand why we feel the way we do, we need to start being able to have more conversations. Because many times there is a perspective from most white men, and I'm not saying that this is the thing about it. I'm not saying that having a conversation, it's going to justify why people are doing it. I'm just saying having that conversation is actually putting this disinformation out here. It's giving you so much more information than what you've actually previously had. So having a conversation would actually get you to start bridging that gap. So when we're talking about bridging the gap, like I said, many times what we're doing is we have these issues that has been drawing a wedge between us. And it can be something simple. So how do we get over these gaps when it comes to relationships, when it comes to just relationships? Let's talk about that relationships. That's the part of everybody's life, relationships, whether it's a mother, father, whether it's boyfriend, whether it's marital, whether it's engaged, whatever the case may be. When it comes to relationships, you got certain things like, you know, should a woman propose to a male? How do you feel about that shit? We got all these videos out here now. You got the woman proposing to the male. Are y'all okay with that? Most people are like, I would never do that. I'm not good with that because I think a man's supposed to be, they got different perspectives. So if we say that, when we look at these things, we got to start allowing people, we got to understand that people's perspectives or people's mentalities or people's drive or whatever, people's choices are derived based off of their experiences, their foundation, their background, their teaching, how they was raised, their culture, their technology. So instead of pushing them out, instead of automatically looking at people as if they're wrong, let's take the time to listen. So to bridge these gaps, it's more than just, I'm gonna tell you my perspective. You gotta be able to listen to somebody else's perspective and respect their perspective. respect is more than just hearing them out. Respect is actually giving them an open ear. It doesn't help me any if you just listen to what I'm saying, but then while you're listening to me, and my wife taught me this, if while you're listening to me talk, you're automatically preparing your rebuttal. If you're automatically preparing your rebuttal when somebody's trying to give you their perspective, then you're not actively listening. You are not actively listening if you're preparing your rebuttal as soon while somebody's trying to explain to you their perspective. If I'm trying to tell you why I think purple is the best color in the world, but yet instead of listening to my reasoning behind why purple is the best color in the world, you about to prepare and tell me why yellow is the best, you're not listening to what I got to say. So we have to start off with that first off. We got to really put ourselves in position to be active listeners. That's the only way we're going to be able to bridge this gap. And what I'm talking about bridge the gap, period. Even when it comes to religion, even when it comes to beliefs. Now, there are certain things, I'm gonna be honest with you, there are certain things that you just gotta have a foundation about who you are. You gotta know certain things about who you are, what you are about, and certain things like that. You have to have a good foundation, a strong foundation, because some conversations we're not gonna be able to have if you don't even know what you're standing on. But once you have a strong foundation of who you are and what you are and what you stand on, then you can actually be actively listening to other people's perspective and not expecting to change each other, but respect each other. This is how we bridge the gap. And I said what I said earlier because I had to be realistic with me. I started realizing that because certain things were different, that I felt like it was losing the value of what I, the biggest thing that I valued the most. But what I had to end up doing, I had to start seeing the value. Like, I'm gonna be honest with you. Most people will say, and this is gonna be a big one. Most people go say, if you're younger than 25, most people will say that hip hop is dead. That hip hop is not a lot. That hip hop has failed. It's not where it used to be. But I beg to differ. And this is why. I'm not saying I love this music. This is not my favorite time for music. I told you. My favorite time of music was the late 90s. That's when you had Timbaland. That's when you had Missy. That's when you had Busta Rhymes. But that was my favorite time of music. But the thing about it is everybody's music transitioned for where they were at. Like, I'm going to be honest with you. If I was 39, if I was 40 years old, I guarantee I would have been saying the same thing about Bone Thugs and Harmony back in the day. Like, what are they saying? You can't even understand what they, and now when we listening to them talking about any minute, they whining, this whining stuff, I don't get it. But the thing about it is, it's not meant for me to get it. But I can respect the hustle of what they doing. So I have to stand back and not be that old man grandpa talking about, y'all don't got no good music. No. Just let them do their thing. This right now, this 2021. This is the time for these 20-year-olds, these 21-year-olds, 22, 23-year-olds to be vibing out on their music. So you got to respect them and let them have theirs. That's just like dating. Look, it's so funny. It's just like, I remember when I was younger, we used to have to go downtown and talk to a girl and get their number. And once we got their number, we talked to them on the phone. And that's what, nowadays, they don't have to do that. It was funny because I was talking to my daughter and she said something about somebody. She seen somebody try to talk to her or something like this a while ago. This was before she had her boyfriend. But somebody tried to talk to her or something like that. And she said they exchanged Instagrams. And me and my wife, me and Amanda looking like, you did what? Y'all exchanged the Instagram? That's because it was just different because we, like, back in the day, we used to have to get each other number. But we had to be realistic and say, you know what, times is changing. This is the way they doing things now. Look, it's not out here. Look, me and my wife, we don't have to worry about how they doing things out here because we already married to one another. This is these time for these kids to do their thing. And what we got to start making sure we do as the older generations, we got to teach the wisdom but we cannot rain on a parade. We got to allow people, and this is the thing, generationally, we got to be able to build from one another. Let me tell you, the generation that came before me, I got to be able to sit down and listen, and I want to be able to sit down, listen, soak in everything that you got, because you are putting me in position so that I can step into the next page, so I can step into the next level. In a generation that's under me, let me take you under my wing, but at the same time, I cannot put down people who are younger than me just because you're younger than me. Because then I can lose the value. I can look, because we gotta remember, if you don't understand nothing, we gotta remember, people in my generation, we're preparing the next people to step up. When I raise my son, when I raise my daughters, I'm raising my son and my daughter because they're gonna be the future leaders. They're gonna be the people who are gonna eventually, guess what? One of these kids that was born in 2000 is gonna eventually be one of the presidents. And that's what we gotta remember. We gotta build up for the future. We gotta continue. So if we constantly trying to hate on each other, if we constantly trying to shut them down, if we constantly trying to kind of tear each other down, it's losing the gap. Just like I told you about the story at the beginning between me and my wife, and how we moved my son out. We worked together. The purpose, now yes, we got into a, but we had a lot of rebuttals. We went back and forth about a lot of stuff, but when it came down to it, the purpose of what our goal, the purpose of any actions that we did was to get him to the finish line, was to prepare him for adulthood. Same thing we're doing for my daughter, to get her to that place. So I really, really, really appreciate, y'all giving me this time. I really appreciate y'all hanging out with me. This was an amazing first season of Wonder Why with L Wonder. I'm really thankful that y'all, for all the support. I did not anticipate it to go like this. But this is the last episode for season one. Yes, I only did 29 episodes. Why did I end up at 29? Who knows? But guess what? When it ends, the way it did, I'm good to go with it. But just keep your eye open, keep your ears to the streets, keep on listening out, because I will be giving out more information on the next season. Season two will be starting sometime in September. What am I gonna be doing over these next couple months? I am going to be in preparation. I'm going to be coming up with some ideas. I'm going to be scheduling guests. I'm going to be getting some stuff together, because next season two, I'm going to be coming a lot harder. I'm going to be coming a lot more strategic. I'm going to be coming with a lot more impact. We had a great run this first season. Thank you to everybody who has been listening to my podcast. Go out there and share, continue to share, play it back, go listen to some old episodes, watch the progression, and we are going to continue to grow. Once again, this is your man L Wonder with Wonder Why, and Wonder out. Y'all have a good one.